Good morning. Welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. This is BRN AM for Friday, March 22nd, 2024. And our top story today, improving access to hearing care in low and middle income settings. And joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Dr. Shelly Shadha is the technical lead for ear and hearing care at the World Health Organization. Shelly, it is so great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Good to see you too, Jeffrey. Thank you for inviting me.
And this is a really important topic. And this kind of comes on, our conversation comes on the heels of World Hearing Day. And I want to ask you, how pervasive is this issue globally where there are individuals that have lost their hearing or have difficulty hearing? How big of an issue is this?
So, Jeffrey, if we talk about hearing loss, and here it's when we say hearing loss, we don't really mean lost your hearing like completely. It could range from something like a problem in understanding what your friends are talking about in a restaurant and having to keep, you know, asking them to repeat, or sometimes just missing out on things that are said. So that's really a mild level of hearing loss, to something which is profound or complete, where a person has no sense of hearing. So there's a wide range here. And if we talk about the entire range of hearing loss, that's really one in five people currently have some degree of hearing loss. So that's how pervasive it is globally. But if we take out people who have an occasional problem when they're with their friends in a noisy place or something, and we focus only on those who require some form of treatment or rehabilitation, even then we are looking at about 430 million plus people in the world. So that, it just in simple terms, is about 6% of the population, or about 1 in 16 or 17 people have that level of hearing loss that they require some attention for it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a huge number, even if it's 6 or 7% of the world's population. Are there, I want to get to the attribution of hearing loss in a second, but are there areas of the globe that have greater hearing loss? So, for example, here in the United States, a lot of people have headphones, or they have the in-ear headphones, or they go to rock concerts. But are there areas of the planet, of the world, that suffer more than others when it comes to some level of hearing loss?
Yes, indeed. So there are hearing loss prevalence. It varies in different regions of the world. We have a whole information very detailed about it, also written in the World Report on Hearing, which was published in 2021. But for the moment, I just want to say that the actual prevalence, it may range from 4% in certain places to 8 or 9% in other places. Some regions like the Western Pacific region, it has the most number of people, also has the most number of people with hearing loss. But it could vary from region to region. But what is important to note is that it is prevalent in all countries in every region of the world. What varies, as you rightly pointed out, are the causes. So in some countries, hearing loss and the rise in hearing loss is really being driven by the demographic changes, by the fact that people are growing older and living longer, and also lifestyle factors which are contributing to them having hearing loss earlier and of higher severity. Lifestyle factors like using headphones for long times or visiting loud venues and events. But in other cases, in other countries, it's actually being driven by ear infections, which continue to persist, and even, you know, we see that they're not being treated. They're completely treatable causes. So it's being driven by those things. So it's different causes, but ultimately hearing loss, the profile in the population may vary. Somewhere it's more children or youth, and in other places, more older people who have hearing loss. But what we do know is that the prevalence is pretty much universal.
Shelley, last question for the segment, and I need to go to a commercial break, but let's talk about access to hearing care. So that could be going to an audiologist. It could be going to a doctor, an otolaryngologist, someone to treat the hearing, or it could be access to tools and techniques like hearing aids. How about the distribution of care? Because I have to imagine different parts of the world have different technology and they might have different levels of care.
Yep. So that's very right. Because ultimately, the challenge lies on one hand, there is this huge and growing need for hearing loss. I already told you the numbers. What we expect is that these numbers are actually going to keep growing. And by 2050, it could actually be one in four people that have some degree of hearing loss. But what is the biggest challenge is really the lack of capacity in countries to actually provide the services and care. Most importantly, of trained doctors, audiologists, rehab specialists, speech therapists, and so on, who can provide the care that people require to treat their ear problems or their hearing loss. And let me give you an example, which may seem really crazy in the context of some of your audiences potentially. But in a country which has a country like Zambia, which has a population of about 8 million, there are only like about six ENTs over there providing care for the entire population. So that is the kind of load that or the gap that we have in terms of care. And most of them, of course, are situated in urban areas in these countries where majority of the population does not have access. So it is really in this context that WHO is promoting what we call as integration into primary care and really asking for services to be integrated into primary healthcare, because ear problems, hearing loss are so common, they need to be identified by the family physician, by the general practitioner, by the nurse, the community healthcare provider in all the countries where, depending upon what the health system infrastructure looks like, rather than being all referred or be dependent upon care provided by a handful of trained specialists.
Yeah, and to that end, as I said, Shelley, I want to take a very quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some guideline changes and some new policies that may help address some of the needs that Shelley talked about. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms? Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy. Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 yeah. years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you gotta start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're gonna change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network.
Shelley, thank you so much for staying with us this morning. Really appreciate you hanging around for segment number two.
Thanks, Jeff.
Let's you hinted at changing guidelines. Let's talk a little bit more about that. I think a lot of us in Western countries would be very surprised at what you were talking about, how there are only six ENTs in the country. I think it was Zambia that you mentioned, for 8 million people. That certainly is not enough. Let's talk about what countries can do, policymakers can do in those respective countries to provide greater access to hearing care.
Yeah, so I think and going back to what I mentioned before we broke, it's about really making sure that services are tiered across the continuum of care. So in many places, the health system infrastructure is really about providing care at the primary level with certain level of general health workforce, could be a GP, a primary level doctor, could be a health worker, a nurse, depending upon the infrastructure. And then there are secondary and tertiary levels. So what WHO is really calling for is for having a way that tasks, which would often be attributed or considered the responsibility only of an ENT or an audiologist, should actually be shared across the continuum of care. And many of the services, the fact is that many of the services, a simple ear examination, treating a simple ear infection, identifying, doing a simple test for detecting hearing loss, let's say in an adult, or even in a child, 5-year-old child or something, in a school going child, can be done at the primary level. It doesn't require necessarily all specialists to be on hand to do these tests. So what WHO is calling for is systematic training and integration at the primary and secondary level. It is in this context, last year we launched a primary ear and hearing care training manual, which is about how can services be provided, or what services can be provided, how can they be provided by healthcare workers or primary level physicians, and how can they be trained in provision of these services. So it was really about training them in the context of general identification of hearing loss, et cetera. And this year we moved to the next step, where we are then talking about providing hearing aids at the primary level. So how can hearing aids be provided by somebody who is trained to do it, not necessarily a specialist? So trained to do, when I say trained to do it, it's like a health worker or a nurse being trained to provide that. Whom can they provide it to? How can they do it? What are the steps required? And very importantly, whom should they not provide these services to? Who needs really specialist attention and should be referred directly to a specialist? So we put together all of these with the help, of course, of an expert panel who guided this entire effort, as well as looking at available models where services are being provided.
And Shelley, you bring up hearing aids, and I wonder, so here in the States, the Food and Drug Administration recently allowed, and you probably already know this, but for the edification of the audience, when something we've covered is now there are something called over-the-counter hearing aids, where you can go into a Walgreens here or another pharmacy and pick that up. Are these tools that I'm describing, are they accessible? So assuming that a general practitioner goes through the study book, learns to take care of the ear and to do the appropriate tests, are there tools like hearing aids, over-the-counter or prescripted, or even like things like cochlear implants, are those available to some of the countries that we're talking about that maybe have under representation in terms of getting care?
So availability of hearing aids is certainly a huge issue. And I would answer your question in two parts. So firstly, can, let's say, a GP in anywhere, use this resource which WHO has and be trained to actually provide that care. So two things here. Firstly, this model always assumes that there or always requires that ultimately there is at the top an oversight by a specialist. So the work is being done by non-specialists, but they have access to a specialist to troubleshoot, to refer their questions to seek guidance from, and initially, of course, to have more hand-holding from. Secondly, even in the training context, you can't just read it and do it because there is a strong skill development component. So the training has to be hands-on and requires really that input from a specialist guiding you to how to provide that hearing aid and so on. So it would not help somebody to provide a certain ODC or other hearing aids, except that they could give some guidance about how to use it, how to change batteries, how to make sure you maintain your hearing aid properly and things like that. The second part of your question, and that is more about access to hearing aids in different countries of the world. And here I would say that there are many issues. So the lack of human resources is a very, very crucial issue that needs to be addressed. But of course, there are issues also relating to quality of hearing aids, to the cost of hearing aids, and other such issues that limit their availability also in other countries. And countries don't always have the same access and regulations as developed parts of the world. So in this context also, WHO has been working with many of our partners. So we have developed specifications about what hearing aids countries can buy. UNICEF, which is another UN entity and a close collaborator of WHO, has also developed like a list of hearing aids from which countries can procure aids. And you would be surprised at their costs, ranging from $50 to $80 or $90 per hearing aid. So they can procure those hearing aids for provision to people. So we are trying to address the different challenges kind of together, but also we have to work on it sequentially. But these are options which are available now to countries. I just wanted to also point out that this service delivery approach or this model, while we talk about it in the context of low and middle income countries, it's not applicable only to low and middle income countries. The title, if you read it, it says low and middle income settings. And that's one of the places where we have field tested this is actually in the United States. So we field tested it in three sites, and one of them was in the US in one of the lesser resourced places in the US where field testing was done to improve access to services, because access even within high income countries is not always equitable.
And we started off this conversation, Shelley, and I need to go, but I just want to get your thoughts about this. We started off talking about we're on an aging planet. Our society is aging. The planet, of course, is aging, but we living on the planet, we are aging. Countries around the world, whether they're Western countries or smaller countries, are aging, and the ability to hear certainly has an impact on our cognition and all the other important functions. So this is something that I would assume, Shelley, you're going to continue, not you, you and the team at the WHO is going to continue to address and recalibrate as you get more experience and more information in.
Yeah, absolutely. We hope to keep doing that and to keep highlighting also the importance of addressing hearing health or maintaining one's hearing health as part of maintaining also your brain health.
Yeah, really important. Shelley, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you and the WHO back on the program again very soon.
Thank you, Jeffrey, for having me, and nice talking to you. Thank you to you and your audiences.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest, someone you think we should talk to, then drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the latest curated news in lifestyle, wellness, finance, tech, so much more, all in one place. That's right, one place. Check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives, check out our latest content? Well, then visit our website. Hey, we're back again tomorrow for another edition of BRN Weekly. Jane King will be here from the NASDAQ to help break down markets, to help us make sense. And I need all the help I can get. And then we'll be taking a look back at some of our best segments of the week. So until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes. Now is your opportunity to co-create content around any topic on the First Lifestyle and Wellness Network. Reach a global audience through our platform and co-own exclusive branded content. All of our programs are available on demand and also as audio-only podcasts, so you can take us on the go. Broadcast Retirement Network, available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.